Well, good morning, good afternoon, good day to wherever you are in the United States or any other place around the world. This is Eugene V. Colson, Mind Controlled America. It's the name of my show, and we have to thank Donald Newsom of the PBS Internet Radio for allowing us to have this show. This show is about mind control, any form of mind control, disinformation that they use in mind control. I am a victim of CIA, MKUltra, Operation Monarch, Mind Control. If you've seen Denzel Washington's movie, Manchurian Candidate, that's what they did to me and approximately 3.6 other Americans. My guest today is Al. I've had Al on a couple times. Al has been researching UFO, Planet X, alien abduction and whatnot. Al, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Al, we're going to start talking about the UFOs today. Now, I thought the vast majority of it was a CIA hoax until I had a repressed memory come back of what really happens at part of Area 51. Al, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before I start asking questions?
Yeah, I used to be a sociology, psychology, political science college instructor. I was a licensed therapist. I'm retired right now. I've spent the last 10 years or so looking into the ufology field, and I've had several sightings, but no encounters.
So being a retired therapist, are you crazy?
No, I think I finally found my sanity in retirement.
Oh, you mean you're not paranoid, schizophrenic, and delusional, like most people they put that label on that studies these subjects?
Depends upon who you're talking to, I guess.
Well, whenever the government wants to hide something, we're all crazy.
Right.
Everybody claiming to be abducted by alien UFO are paranoid, schizophrenic, and delusional.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's now, standard fare.
Yeah. Al, have you ever seen any UFOs yourself?
Yeah, I think they've been UFOs. I can't explain them in any other way. I had my first sighting back in 97 when I lived in Taos, New Mexico. At night, I was outside, and I saw this globe. I wasn't sure exactly what it was when I first saw it. It was about 3-4 miles from where I was, hovering, and it looked like a very bright white light, and I'm staring at it, and all of a sudden it's coming in my direction. And it stops in front of me within like 100 feet, you know, hovering about 100 feet up, and just standing there, hovering, and it's a white, bright light about the size of a basketball, and then it vanished after about 15 seconds. So that was my first, I would call, close encounter with a UFO. Since then, I've seen unusual patterns from lights, different lights, stationary, making zigzag motions, very bright lights, which I can't explain any other way than being a UFO.
What year was this when you first saw it?
97.
And just so that our guests have point of reference, how old are you now, Al?
62.
Okay. So you saw it 11 years ago. Have you talked to others who have seen the similar object?
Never actually talked to anyone, but I've read about it. You know, subsequently after that experience, I really delved into the ufology field and read just about everything I could get my hands on. And then I had some other rather strange experiences. One other I'd just like to mention, when I was living in Taos, New Mexico, I noticed this, it was a shiny object in the sky. It was about 50 miles south of from where I was, and that would be around Los Alamos Naval Weapons Research Place facility. Anyway, here I'm looking at this silvery, glowing object in the sky. Even no clouds, it was a clear day, and it was there in this one place, day after day for about a week. This thing didn't move, and, every time I looked in that direction. So I finally got binoculars, and, it seemed like an oblong UFO. It was hovering over Los Alamos, and, there was an actual confrontation with military jets and this UFO. I saw flashes of light coming from the military jet towards the UFO, and then the UFO basically wiped out this jet with a flash of light.
So it appeared to you that the jet exploded?
Yes.
The fighter?
Ooh. Yeah, it vanished.
You're the first person I've ever talked to that said that you've seen aircraft take fire from one of these UFOs.
Well, it's not uncommon. If you do the research, you'll find that when fighter jets pilots encounter UFOs, many times they chase after them, as foolish as that sounds, and there are encounters. Now, I don't know that everyone results in the jet disappearing, but most often the UFOs just take off, you know, at the speed that the fighters can't keep up with. But I've read where the military jets fire on these UFOs, and I'm sure that some of them fire back, you know.
Huh. Well, you've seen something to that effect yourself.
Right.
Now, tell us about your areas of research on UFOlogy and so forth.
Well, as I said, I was a college instructor, and so I'm familiar with the scientific method, and unfortunately many people in the ufology field do not follow the scientific method, which entails trying to be neutral and objective when it comes to information, even if it's information that you feel or believe is not true. You should, as a scientist, take a neutral position and gather the information and then draw your conclusions. Don't have preconceived notions. So that's pretty much the way I approach ufology, is read things, and whether it be a book, article, or on a website. And I try to find corroborating evidence to either substantiate it or negate it. And so I've read a lot of stuff about UFOs and aliens, and my position is that it's a very complex subject. There's no simple answers. We can't stereotype aliens. If you do, I think it's missing the mark. Many ufologists believe aliens are good guys here to help us out, save humanity, solve our problems, that kind of thing. Well, there's some truth in that. And then there's those who think that aliens are here to take over, their conquest mentality, to manipulate, control us, to maybe even to wipe us out. And I think there's truth in that, too. So I think there's a combination of things going on. So if you look at the human race in a broad spectrum, you see a gamut of behaviors, you know, run from demonic, satanic, to angelic and saintly. And there's everything in between. So I believe the same kind of thing is happening with the alien question or the visitation.
Well, I've only met one guy who researches that, and that was that Victor up in Canada, who I had on the show with you several months ago.
Right.
And he only ran into one person that claimed to be abducted that said it was not a bad experience. And my experience with these rays and whatnot is they're manufactured at Area 51s, and the other ones like it around the world. And it's not a good thing, because it takes one clone 15-year-old and two clone fetuses to create one gray. And it's horrendous biological experimentation and so forth. Now, as far as the benevolent side, what have you found on that?
Well, I've had a dozen sightings, okay, and I mentioned the one, the orb or the globe, if you want to call it, and how close it came. Now, if all the aliens are sinister and destructive, I wouldn't be here. I've been talking to you, you know, I've been gone. So to me, that's some proof from personal experience that not all alien encounters are negative or destructive. But nevertheless, what you say is accurate and true as far as the abduction phenomena for most people that I've read anyway. I've encountered two people in my life who claim to have been abducted. And the one guy, he was facilitating UFO groups once a month. His background was as a military pilot. he's a retired military guy, and he shared with a group one day how he had an encounter with UFO and aliens in an urban area at night, and he was going to a football game or something, and he had an encounter with an alien ship, and he was abducted. And he claims that they experimented on him, and that he had an implant. And he described the aliens as reptilian. I think he said there was some grace, too. Well, I went over to his house. He invited me over to his house, and he showed me the scar on his back where he said he had an implant, and there was definitely a scar there. Now, I couldn't say for sure there was an implant. But his interpretation of the experience was altogether positive. And I found it rather curious, you know, that he'd been abducted and has an implant, and all, you know, without his consent. And he still found it a positive experience. Now, why he did that, I don't know. It was just his quirk. There are people who have what we call negative experiences and yet have a positive, you know, outlook on it for whatever reason. But I think that most people who are abducted, I'd say 95%, have been traumatized by it. And, I mean, we have laws here in the country about, you know, kidnapping and abduction and that kind of thing, and forcing people to do things against their will. Those are illegal activities. So why it would be looked upon as something positive by anybody, really, I mean, as far as, you know, aliens abducting humans, is beyond me.
Now, the reptilian-type creatures, how did he describe them?
He said that this entity, a creature, had a human-type body with the reptilian scales and a reptilian head, like a a dinosaur type head, and he claims that during his experience, this thing forced his tongue into his mouth. Now, I've never heard or read anything like that. That may be something unique to him, or it may happen. I don't know.
Well, I had a fellow on that was a Chupacabra expert, and he said that all the events that he investigated was they found that these Chupacabras would stick its tongue down the throat of a dog or goat or sheep or whatever, and when they would do an autopsy on it, they found out pieces of its heart or organs were torn out.
Oh, my.
Did he say it had a real long tongue, went down his throat?
No, I don't remember, other than him saying that, you know, that kind of struck as being unusual. Plus, he said there was a metallic taste in his mouth afterwards. But, I think he was in denial about the truth of the experience because he seemed like an ordinarily healthy guy, but after his abduction and his implant, he had some health problems. You know, he, like, chronic sinus problems, that kind of thing, that were, well, I should say acute, chronic, not like chronic, but acute sinus problem.
I can imagine anyone saying that some reptilian creature stuck its tongue down their throat and then come away with that saying, well, that was a good experience.
Huh.
I'm a little baffled at that statement.
I am, too. But I didn't agree with his approach on the alien question. He was leading the group, and he only had positive things to say about aliens. So I was a little, put off by that.
Well, how tall did he say this reptilian creature was?
He said he was pretty tall, like 7 feet maybe.
Did it have a tail?
I don't recall him saying that.
If the listeners want to look up Lieutenant Colonel S.C. or Lieutenant Colonel Greg Rinchick on the Internet, he's done numerous interviews, and I know Lieutenant Colonel S.C., and him and I did a lot of operations together. I was at a mind control level. He probably was, too, and he claimed to see hundreds of these things crawl out of caves after one of the substructures at Area 51 had a nuclear explosion inside, which collapsed the structure. And he said they were about 8-9 feet tall, and they had tails.
Uh-huh.
Did he say approximately how big its head was in relationship to his body?
No. He didn't go into a lot of detail in the group about the reptilian creature itself. He was more or less just generalized, you know. But I did find that rather unusual, you know, that encounter with it. I had read about reptilians. David Icke has written many books about aliens and conspiracy theory. He's one of the first that claimed that certain humans are both reptilian and human, that they shapeshift. He's claiming that about some blue blood families. That was the first that I read about it. Of course, he was, you know, ostracized for that. But imagine it's true. It probably is true because, as far as I know, when it comes to alien situation, the genetic manipulation experimentation with humans has been going on for some time.
Well, you know, how I found out I was a mind control victim and the whole operation of the shadow government controlling this country was when I got a reverse speech machine. Now, if you look up reverse speech or reversespeak.com, you go to David John Oates' website. Reverse speech is you take a tape-recorded message of anyone and you play it backwards. You'll actually hear a portion of their thoughts and beliefs. And sometimes it's clear as day. Sometimes it's a little harder to pick up. And I got one of these machines in, I believe it was 96, and I found out it was a real science. And I had a number of David Icke tapes, and I ran that through the reverse speech machine, and I believe he's an information disinformation guy. And that's not to say a lot of what he says isn't true, because many of the information disinformation people, they will tell truth with lies or twisted lies. Now, so as far as, but you know, this Lieutenant Colonel S.C. said he saw some of these reptilians shapeshift. Whether they do or not, or it was a mind control program, I don't know, because I don't remember seeing anything like that. Anything you want to add in here, Al?
The alien phenomena is so bizarre in many respects that it's really beyond our comprehension as to what's taking place. I mean, we could be getting smidgens of truth and disinformation, you know, combined, like you said. I think that's accurate that the whole field of ufology is replete with half-truths and disinformation, whether it be based on controlled information, manipulating information, or just ignorance, you know, lack of awareness. You know, it's hard to say. But, you know, there's not a uniform perspective in the ufology field when it comes to aliens. Another thing we could keep in mind is that, in fact, if aliens are visiting or here or are actually inhabiting Earth, their technology is so far advanced compared to ours that I think just about anything is possible, you know, when it comes to reality as we define it. It's more surreal. The information that comes out of ufology field sometimes is very surreal, like, you know, the shape-shifting thing. And so it's hard for us to comprehend or to accept. That's where we have to have an open mind, but use discernment at the same time.
Well, they put a lot of stuff out on television in the movies and the sci-fi shows and whatnot. I was told by the scientist that I met in 2003 at Area 51, sublevels 1.1 to 21.1, that they came from pre-flood man and possibly pre-world man, and that the fiber optics, the microchips, and all that technology was reverse engineered from the Roswell crash. And to create one of these things, they use diseases, heavy metals, and a radioactive material called plutonium, and they pump it into the brains of fetuses to create these different creatures, at least what I saw, So that would kind of correspond with this officer's metallic taste in his mouth. They'll use mercury, heavy metals, and they'll attach themselves to proteins in cell tissue at a microbiology level and create a supercomputer, a biological supercomputer. And that's what I saw in my experience, but I must qualify this as I didn't believe that it was real until I remembered it last April. Can you tell me anything more about what this officer said?
No, other than, again, his total bias towards having, you know, a positive, uplifting, enlightening experience, and he had nothing negative to say about it, so I think he was in denial. And this is part of the syndrome, I think, of abductees, you know, whether it be from their own belief system, they want to believe what they're believing, or it's a manipulation from the ET angle, maybe a combination of both, you know, it's hard to say. Even people who have undergone hypnotic regression in order to recall, because they don't have conscious recall of their abduction experience, when they're under hypnosis, they come up with information that they had no recollection of, but it's hard to say whether that information is accurate and true or real, again, because we don't know the extent to which aliens are capable of manipulating human psychology and perceptions. You know, some alien races may have a great deal of power in that regard. It seems that they do when it comes to abductions anyway, because of the lack of recall for the most part, and the ability to immobilize people, other people who may be, you know, in the area, relatives or whatever, friends, are immobilized, and then they also have amnesia. So apparently some alien races have very powerful psychological weapons, so to speak, that affect human psyche.
Well, I've heard a number of them say, and this would be secondhand because I haven't met anyone that claims to be abducted myself, but a number of them have said that people say they were, they use telepathy to contact them and tell them what to do.
Right.
I know the CIA, they have electronic equipment. There's hundreds of thousands of people around this country who are going to the government claiming that they're getting electronic harassment, such as all the way from chanting from witches all inside their heads to talking, conversations. And they have equipment that they can figure out what frequency your brain operates on, and they can actually interact with your verbal thought. And they had done that to me for a number of months. And it was just a process of them trying to make me go crazy. But it ended. Once I started ignoring it, and I was told my brain frequency changed, and they could no longer do that. Did he say that this Air Force officer say they used telepathy on him and conversed with him that way?
I don't recall if he said that specifically, but that's common amongst abductees that have been, you know, interviewed and written up on. That telepathy is the main way that, or the only way that communication takes place from the aliens. Although I have read that some aliens communicate in our language, but it's pretty rare. They don't really have the mouth for it. I understand their mouth are real small.
Some of them are larger, but they can open that small mouth quite wide. And the ones I saw had a lot of teeth.
Hmm.
You know, so just because they don't open their mouth much doesn't mean that they can't open it wide, because they're not physically like us.
Yeah. Well, they're not physically like us. They may have mouths that can open wide. What I've read is that their mouth is almost like secondary, you know, compared to ours. You know, obviously we use our mouth for communicating and eating and whatnot. I don't know that they do. They probably.
Well, what I saw they did, and what they eat is they eat human flesh and drink blood. That was the substance of the ones I saw at Area 51, and that's what they told me.
also read, maybe you've had this experience. I haven't had any experiences like this, where the aliens take baths in fluids as a way of, eating or nurturing themselves. They don't actually eat. I don't know. Maybe different aliens have different methods of consumption. And again, I'm reluctant to categorize all alien behavior with a broad brush, saying, "Well, this is what they do."
That's why I qualify. I said this was my experience,
right.
Because I can't speak for all of them either.
Right. Yeah. So our experience pretty much determines how we see the world, influences our opinions. So that's why I like to do a lot of reading, because you can only have so many experiences, and your experience may be valid, but another person's experience may not, cooperate with yours, and may conflict with yours, and they may be valid too. So that's why I think it's important to keep an open mind when it comes to this enigma of aliens and UFOs. I find it's very frustrating for me to communicate with people on this topic, even people who are interested and done a lot of research, because people have their perceptions and their biases, and if you challenge that, if you don't agree with that, all of a sudden, they don't want to talk to you, which to me is an immature way of communicating, because people aren't going to agree all the time, and we should respect each other's differences and not necessarily, lambaste somebody who disagrees with us, call them names or whatever, because they have a different experience or a different truth.
Kind of like the presidential election process.
Oh yeah, it's disgusting. I don't listen. I don't watch.
Yeah, well, if you should start researching the truth of what's said by different ones, running for office, it doesn't matter where it is. You find out that there's a lot of twists and turns. Now, so these people that get very belligerent with you, have you had that very often?
More or less, I have people who don't respond. I reach out to various individuals, usually through the internet, and I haven't had much success in getting a positive response. To specifically the one field of research I've done about Planet X, I've tried to contact people in ufology field, whether it be exopolitics or people who have websites about UFOs, and no response on the Planet X. Recently tried to contact Amy Goodman,
Well, while you're trying to think of that, it was about 6 or 8 weeks ago, I had met a guy at a Starbucks who got a cup of coffee, sitting there smoking cigarettes, and looked like he was getting quite comfortable, spent a half hour or more there, just sitting there enjoying his coffee and smokes, and I asked him, I said, hey, how you doing? Started talking. He was from up north. I said, well, what do you do for a living? He goes, I'm into optics. I go, what kind of optics? And he says, well, telescopes. I said, oh, so you're an astronomer. So he didn't want to tell me he was an astronomer. He was into optics. I said, hey, have you ever seen Planet X? He goes, yes, I have, a number of times. I asked him, how big was it? He said, oh, a little bit bigger than our moon. I says, is it smooth? Is the surface real smooth? He goes, yes, but I believe the other side is rocky. And before I could ask him any more questions, he nervously left. And I thought that very interesting,
Yeah.
I don't know if people
shy away from the topic. Even people know about it. They get antsy, paranoid, whatever.
Well, at that particular Starbucks that I go to on a regular basis, I've had a lot of people show up there that are just supposed to watch me, and I, CIA operatives, military intelligence operatives, so on and so forth. And when I sit down and have a conversation with anyone, they don't realize that I'm interrogating them, because I am a trained interrogator. And it'll sound like just a common conversation to anyone who doesn't know. But I just questioned whether he was sent to see what I could get out of him or what, or it was a coincidence. I have also met the number two guy at the GAO office there, some generals, and on it goes. Now, with respect to Planet X, have you found a lot of people just run like hell from it when you bring it up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was Amy Goodman with NPR is what I was thinking, that I contacted recently about Planet X. I haven't heard from her. I mean, she has a website. If you have a new issue or program you would like to see aired, you know, contact me, that kind of thing. Well, it was recent. Maybe she'll get back to me. I don't know, but I doubt it. And this is typical when I make an effort to contact people about Planet X. People in the ufology field, they don't respond. Only success I've had as far as a positive response is with the Canadian National Newspaper, which they have a website. They publish articles about ufology, UFOs and aliens and whatnot. So they published several articles that I wrote about Planet X. And there are some books out there, and there are some websites, you know, that go into it. There's YouTube. And you find that, there's both sides of the story, you know. I mean, there's a woman, I forget her name, who has a website. She claims she gets, you know, many, many hits on her website about, Planet X and the Nephilim. And she's claiming, well, the Nephilim, first of all, for your listeners who don't know, they're a race of aliens that have existed here on Earth in the past during the Sumerian civilization, which is pre-Egyptian and beyond that. And some say that the Nephilim, which is a race of giants, are responsible for manipulating our genetic heritage. Nevertheless, the Nephilim, according to my research, are on Planet X. And Planet X is presently in our solar system. Now, this fact, which I consider true fact, is not widely known nor agreed upon by people who know about Planet X. The government basically denies the existence of Planet X, even though there was an article that came out in the Washington Post and one in the New York Times back in 82-83 when an IRAS infrared satellite discovered Planet X entering our solar system. At that time was near Neptune. Now it's circled the sun, and it's on its way towards the Earth. It's taken a slow passage towards the Earth, it seems, and it's going to be visible in the southern sky next year, and it should be visible globally within a couple, 3 years. But going back to your question, you know, do people shy away from them? No, most definitely. It's very frustrating to know about these things or this, you know, phenomena, Planet X, and how it's going to have a humongous impact on the Earth and civilization, and like nobody knows about it or everybody's running from it.
Well, we had the incidents last week where these different channeling people would put out the information on the internet that we were going to get a visitation from a very large craft over Louisiana or Alabama for 3 days.
Right.
And nobody saw it. And I told you and several others before that, I says, yeah, nothing's going to happen, and they'll come out afterwards and say, well, they could not see it because they're not spiritually in-tuned or they were cloaked. And that's, in fact, what happened. They said, well, they came, but they were cloaked. You couldn't see them. And, you know, there's a lot of disinformation that's put out by people that report on the UFO phenomenon big time. And I would venture to say that most of those people are, in fact, connected with the One World Government, and they're part of this fake UFO invasion that's supposed to occur at some point in time in the tribulation.
Yeah, see, now that's one slant, one point of view when it comes to future contact with UFOs or aliens. You know, this is going to be a huge fabricated event in order to, the New World Order people consolidate their power and to take control over everything. Well, that's one view. My view is that Planet X is very real, and anybody that wants to take the time to investigate the reality of its existence will find enough information on the internet as well as the books. That's all you have to do is, you know, go to the library and put in type in Planet X or Nibiru or Nephilim, and you'll find the information is there. In addition, there's photographs of it on certain websites, on YouTube. And so to deny it is just really running from a huge problem that we're going to encounter. There's no way that I can convince anybody that it's real until, you know, it happens. And then it's going to be maybe a little too late to do anything about it, if we can do anything about it at all. This avoidance and denial and debunking is very destructive and negative when it comes to this particular phenomena. Now, I agree with you that there's a lot of disinformation about UFOs and aliens and whatnot, and so it's hard to decipher what's true and what's not, but there's not going to be any doubt in people's minds when Planet X is like staring us in the face, this huge, it's not a planet, by the way, it's a starship, it's a battleship. And
kind of like in the second Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I don't watch Star Wars, but there's a prophecy about the return of Planet X that goes back to pre-Egyptian times. The Nephilim, apparently, they were here on the Earth, and they were in control of everything at one point. And then there was a cataclysmic event.
Like a flood?
Yeah, like a flood. Or huge earthquakes and volcanoes and stuff at one time going off. So they left, for the most part, most of them left the planet, to my understanding, but there was a kind of a promise that they would return. Now,
well, Lieutenant Colonel S.C. said at the time of the flood that they tunneled down into the earth and sealed the caves, and they stayed there until they could come out again. I've heard other accounts. And what they told me when I was at Area 51, they went into outer space in their anti-gravity devices, which would be the flying saucers and whatnot, and stayed in hyperstasis out there and came back periodically. Now, you know, to say that's what they told me, and that's what they told Lieutenant Colonel S.C. What have you heard about anything about tunneling or whatnot?
Yeah, I've done reading about the subterranean dwellings throughout the world, inhabited by different alien races. Of course, there's also, you know, subterranean facilities that have been inhabited by military, U.S. military, maybe other militaries around the world. There's a whole network of subterranean facilities, whether they be inhabited by humans, aliens, or combination. I think that's valid, that's true, and it's very possible that remnants of the Nephilim didn't leave at the time of this cataclysm. Some of them stayed in these the subterranean dwellings, and they're still here. Now, I have read that there's been sightings of these giants, this race of aliens, giants, different parts of the world, particularly in South America and Brazil. And that these sightings, encounters with these folks, the village people stay away from them because there's been killings.
Well, when I had Barry Shamish on about a month ago, he had done a number of shows and a lot of research in 2003 over in Israel, and about four or five different women aged 39 said they saw Nephilim. They were about 7 feet tall. You know, and I was asking him what color they were. He said, well, they were gray. And I remember seeing one at Area 51 that was about 6 foot six. And it was a big, muscly gray, only the shape of its head was football-like. If you lay a football on the ground and put the eyes further out, that's exactly how those women described them to them.
Mm-hmm.
Did those people in South America describe them in that way in any fashion?
No. What I read is recently that these folks pretty much avoid any contact with the Nephilim because of the aggression that they've experienced from them. And there was no graphic description of what they looked like other than they were giants. But as far as proof of Nephilim existing, there's been archaeological excavations of bones of giants throughout the world that have been unearthed, and they, believe it or not, some of these giants are up to 36 feet tall, and that's hard to conceive of, but there's actually...
Well, it would make a lot of sense is how did they erect all those statues on Easter Island?
Right, and they probably had something to do with building the pyramids. Tremendous strength and moving objects and whatnot. They probably also had technology to exist. To assist them. But as far as the Nephilim are concerned, that's a race of aliens that are not to be trusted, that they have a agenda to either control or eliminate the human population. And they see Earth as their possession. They've probably been here on Earth longer than humans.
Well, as far as the tunnels around the world, they have laser drilling equipment that they can drill through 5 miles of solid rock a day. And they have transportation vessels, and they set magnetic rings behind it. They create electromagnetic field, and you get in one of these transport vehicles, and while the Earth rotates around its axis at about 1,440 miles an hour, this vehicle stays in the same place unless they're going to slow it down so that they can enter. So, you know, they do have tunnels like that. I know people that have said they've been on them, and they've also seen a combination of military personnel from different countries working with these quote-unquote aliens. So what you've read in research, I have found people that have said the same thing, that have been there, according to them.
Yeah, so it seems to be a very real thing based on, you know, reading as well as experience. And what we should be concerned about is, you know, what's going on down there? What's their agenda? How is that going to affect the rest of the population if it's not happening already? And people should open up their eyes and their minds to the possibility that we're going to have an encounter with Nephilim very soon via Planet X. And if we're in the dark about it, we won't have any way to deal with it.
Well, I think by the time it arrives, we're not going to have any way to deal with it regardless other than try to educate ourselves. Because the technology that I saw that they have is far above ours. But, at the, you know, you get into the Black Shadow government, they are using these technologies against the people of the world, especially against people of America.
Yeah, well, there's HARP, and there's the mind control technology that you mentioned.
Not to mention the super colliders.
Super colliders, there's chemtrails. There's the poisoning of our food, our water. You know, I think it's all related to the UFO ET phenomena. There are ETs that are on the Earth that either want to eliminate us or make us sick or control us, manipulate us, enslave us. There is that element, and it may be the predominant element that's on Earth right now. Nevertheless, there are also benevolent aliens. The contact with benevolent aliens is less frequent or less reported. Nevertheless, it's there, and it makes sense because human population, for the most part, is ignorant or complacent or just doesn't care when it comes to alien life. You know, it's not a topic that people even broach. I mean, I've talked to people who are in the field of parapsychology on occasion, that like this one woman who sponsors a fair in a city nearby here. It has to do with parapsychology and that kind of thing. And and then there was one person who came to at the fair who talked about UFOs and aliens. And I said, well, you know, maybe we can get something going, you know. Maybe there's some people who would like to meet and talk about this. Well, that never happened. So even people who are purportedly interested in a topic, they shy away from it. I don't know. It's like a curse or something.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the one similar to the one that crashed at Area 51, I mean, at Roswell, which are different than the typical grays that most people see now, which usually only come in the dark of night when you're asleep, when you're most vulnerable. It's been my experience, the vast majority of people that have seen these are mind control victims themselves, because they'll use that technology as part of their programming. Now, the other individual you said that you met that was abducted, what was his story?
Oh, it was a woman. I didn't actually meet her. I just talked to her on the phone. I contacted her through ExoPolitics. There's a website where you have a blog, you know, and so she had a few statements that sounded like she had some personal experience. So I was interested in talking to somebody who had actually been there, you know, had the experience of being abducted. So we had several phone conversations over a couple of months. And, yeah, I agree with you as far as the mind control thing. She was a victim of that. And she had a lot of personal problems. She felt like she was being under surveillance, and that her house was burglarized numerous times. That she tried, they tried to kill her, poison her. And on top of all that, she said that she'd been abducted. Well, she didn't actually want to talk about it that much, you know. That's why I called her in the first place. I want to know what she experienced, but she was reluctant to talk about it. Little that she did, she was traumatized, and she said that her contacts ran in the family, that she knew that her parents had been abducted, and she thought it went back several generations. She thinks her children may have been abducted. And the unusual thing about her experience was that she also had several encounters with other aliens that weren't intrusive, you know, like the abducting aliens. They were not intrusive as far as doing experiments on her and whatnot. And she said that it seemed like they were trying to help her. But she was afraid of them, too. She was afraid of all aliens because, like you say, they would just appear in her bedroom, you know, and then she'd be gone, and she'd lose time and have amnesia and whatnot. So we talked for a while, and I gave her some suggestions about how to cope with intrusive aliens, which has to do with standing up, you know, and being assertive and making sure that you're protected from the side of the light, and she was starting to do that and seemed to help. But the unusual thing was the positive. Well, she didn't consider it positive. She thought all the alien contacts were negative, but when she talked about these other aliens, they seemed to want to help her, either with
health problem. The only thing I can say about that is, being a mind control victim and remembering quite a bit of what they did to me, they played a good guy, bad guy routine on you constantly. And it's my understanding, and from what they told me when I was there at Area 51, was some of them looked very human, which may have nowhere near as much genetic manipulation as, say, the Grays or the Nephilim I described earlier, and that they will be more human than they are a genetic alteration. And yeah. So I'd be skeptical as to, you know, The bad ones are with them, with the good ones, and the good ones are trying to help them, because the good guy, bad guy routine they play on us all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't know for sure if that's the case with her. And it wasn't so much that they were there together as that the other aliens who helped her out was a separate event or events. But again, you know, she didn't see it so much as positive. She was afraid of all of them, and she wished that they'd all go away. Now, why they picked on her, again, it was a generational thing, and she also claimed, and I could attest to some extent, that she was psychic, because she said things about me, and she didn't know anything about me that were accurate, but not everything that she said was accurate. So it seemed like she may have had some of that hybrid gene makeup, you know, because she had some psychic abilities, which we all have, but most of us don't develop it.
Well, I've been told that they tried to genetically alter me at different times, but it didn't take. Now, that's like cloning. When they first started cloning, it was very difficult for them. Now they're quite proficient at it. So just because it may not work on one person or may work on one person doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work on another, their experimentation.
Yeah.
I mean, some people may die from it. Some people may just get ill.
That has occurred. According to my research, people have died and they've also gotten sick. But most of the cases, people come back somewhat traumatized, but not necessarily, you know, lethally or in a crippling, disabling manner. It's just more or less psychological trauma. And they have these scoop marks or these scars if they have implants. And they usually are visited, you know, on a fairly regular basis, unless they decide to stop it.
Well, the best way you can fight this is the government and their mind control routines and manipulation with these androids. I don't believe they're aliens, they're androids, is lose fear, because they want you afraid of them. The government wants you afraid of everything so that they can manipulate you.
Yeah.
They want us, you know, look at what's going on in the stock market. They want everybody terrified of what's going on in the stock market, which I believe is total manipulation right now.
Well, you hit on a key point here as far as how people are manipulated through fear. When we get into the fear mode, we're more susceptible and vulnerable to attack or manipulation. And so whatever it is that's causing the fear, you have to overcome it. You know, you have to find the courage, the temerity to stand up and say, no, you know, this is not going to happen. You're not going to do this anymore. Leave me alone. I mean it.
Well, that doesn't mean they're going to leave you alone. Like in my case, some of the people I would meet at Starbucks or a local Gambino mafia bar would be hitmen or assassins. And I've been told a number of times that there's a hit on, a hit out on me, a contract. And I say, well, you know, why don't you take the contract and set up on the tree line 100 yards from my front door? That's fine with me. We can't, just because we lose fear doesn't mean they're not going to stop trying.
That's true.
But if once you get to the point of say, hey, I'm not afraid of you anymore, and if I can't control it, so be it. But you're not going to use this fear routine on me anymore.
Right. There's no guarantees that if you overcome your fear that they're going to stop trying to victimize you. But
like my house is burglarized on a regular basis. What have they done 2 weeks ago? They took a butcher knife. They took most of my kitchen knives and my pocket knives, and they took most of the coffee cups. You know, real stuff like that. They've taken money, they've taken jewelry, they've taken different things that I've had. That one day I'll have, the next day I'll be gone. And other people that have stayed with me experience the same thing.
Well, we know that there are those types out there that don't want the truth out. They don't want people like you or me to be disclosing things that they would rather have secret and cover up somehow, you know, and upsets their power base or their sense of control. And so there's always going to be folks out there like that, but we nevertheless have to do what's right, you know, which is to seek the truth and to share it with people.
Yeah, I mean, they've tried to poison me many, many times. I wake up with needle marks. I wake up with claw marks on my back, and then I'll remember that they would have brought a gray in there to claw me or so forth, because these are biological weapons, at least the ones I saw. They make them with diseases and viruses, and if they if you shoot one or stab one, you better get the hell out of there fast, because you're going to get a biological disease. Or if you're in a closed room with them too long and they're breathing on you too much, you're probably going to get a disease and it may kill you. And, you know, I'll give God the credit for my protection. Sometimes I'd get sick from it. Sometimes I wouldn't. Sometimes I'd be very, very sick.
Well, you know, I haven't had that kind of experience. I don't doubt that it happens. Similar kinds of things are happening, not necessarily from an alien assault, you know, as I mentioned earlier.
That's what I would, you know, they're working in conjunction with the shadow government, and it's a satanic tie, everything that I've seen.
Right. Well, you know, just kind of an offshoot of what you're talking about has to do with vaccines, you know, that are promoted by the government, flu vaccines, for example, that many people think that are necessary for health, you know, to maintain their health through the winter. And yet many of these flu vaccines are tainted or poisoned.
Well, you've got the current birth rate in the United States is 1 in 150 kids is going to have attention deficit disorder, autism, retardation. And you know how many, what percentage of Amish children are autistic, retarded, or any form of autism?
Zip.
You know how many? Yeah, none. And they don't take vaccinations, and they don't use chemicals like we use in our food, because this is all designed to kill us.
Yeah, either make us sick or kill us, right?
Yeah, or control us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only two countries basically on the face of the earth that do what they do to the food, and what the other one's China, as well as the United States.
Yeah.
And they won't allow genetically altered food from the United States into most of the countries of the world.
Yeah, so GMO, genetically modified foods, is another way that the powers that be are compromising our health or trying to kill us. So it doesn't have to be an alien, you know. It could be the controllers.
Well, let me put my contact information out, because we've got about 3 minutes left. If you want to contact me, you can email me at eugenebcolson@yahoo.com. U-G-E-N-E, B as in Barry, Colson, C-U-L-S-O-N, @yahoo.com. Do you want to put out any contact information for yourself, Al?
I have a post on the web, Planet X, upcoming pole shift in Planet X, under that title. They can find out more about Planet X. And the articles I've written for Canadian National Newspaper, that's a website, they can check out, you know, Planet X there, too.
And, okay, so where do you think you're going to take it from here, Al, in the remaining 2 minutes?
Well, I would recommend that people do their own investigation, their own research, come to their own conclusions, you know, look at every different angle, don't get trapped in a particular perspective or bias, be open and try to learn as much as possible, because it may seem that aliens have nothing to do with our everyday life, but it's not true. They have a very strong influence behind the scenes, politically, economically, and every other way, so we should learn much as possible about them.
I would concur. At the same time, I would recommend everyone check out David John Oates' ReverseSpeech.com site and research MKUltra, MKULTRA, and Monarch, MONARK, or ARCH, mind control programs, because my experience is they're part of the same problem. And came from the same, you know, pre-flood man routine. Well, Al, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, and I'll look forward to talking to you in the future. And I want to thank Donald Newsom at BBS Internet Radio for making this show possible, and I would encourage the listeners to listen to some of the other programs on the BBS Internet Radio. So this is Eugene B. Colson of Mind Controlled America, signing off. Everyone have a good day.
Good day.